I'm Jeannie.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network,
just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is podcast number 123 discussing Jessica Jones, Season 1, Episode 12, aka Take a Bloody Number. This show is recorded on Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of SHIELD, Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix. In the general Marvel comic universe.
Because we can only take on one big bad at a time.
If you'd like to talk to us about our villain fighting limitations, you can catch us on our website, legendsofshield.com. Don't forget, we have a voicemail, 844-843-2871. And if you actually try to spell that out, you will get 844-THE-BUS-1. You will find us on Legends of SHIELD podcast on Facebook. We have a Twitter page at Legends of SHIELD and a Tumblr page, legendsofshield.tumblr.com. YouTube, you can find all of our great videos at www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And of course, our network page, GunnaGeek.com. This time on Legends of SHIELD, we're going to be talking about our last week of our Marvel Collector Core Captain America Civil War Crate giveaway. We're going to be talking about the penultimate Jessica Jones episode of Season 1. We're going to be talking a little bit about your weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and highlights from the live chat room. So, Haley, we have this giveaway going on, right?
Yes.
So what do people have to do? What do we got? And when is it going to be given away?
Well, as you may or may not be aware, there's a little X-Men flick coming out this week. So we decided an X-Men themed contest would be the best way to give it away. So what you have to do is let us know what mutant character, it could be an X-Men, it could be a villain, it could be just some other mutant, you would like to see in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Cross over into that universe. You can only pick one. You cannot say all of them. That is the one stipulation that we have. D, all of the above, is not an acceptable answer. You have to get that information to us in some way that we can keep track of. So don't put it in the chat right now. Hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter, send us an email, send us a voicemail. One of those ways that we can have a record that you actually sent it to us so we don't lose it or forget it or something.
And we'll be doing this next week. That's June 1st, live on our podcast, talking about the next X-Men movie. That would be X-Men Apocalypse. We're going to be doing it Wednesday night next week. I know a lot of the times with the MCU movies, we do it like on the weekend, on Sunday or whatever. But we're going to wait till Wednesday. We're going to wait till everybody gets a chance to have a great holiday weekend here in the United States. Go watch the movie, then come back and talk about Apocalypse next Wednesday at our normally scheduled time. That's 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central at www.geeks.live. And in the past week, we've gotten some great entries, and we're going to run down them just so you get an example. If you're thinking, geez, what am I going to put in my entry? And at Born to Eat Bacon, he said, it's a long shot, but I would love to see Longshot in the MCU. And since he's actually from an alternate universe, why not? It's kind of a punny one he did there, isn't it, Haley?
Yes, very punny.
So what did Cajun Sean have to say?
Well, he said Squirrel Girl, obviously playing to our judges, since Squirrel Girl is, I think, Lauren's favorite character of all time ever.
Absolutely. And if Lauren was here, which she's not, she would say Squirrel Girl. Lauren couldn't be with us tonight, so we decided to push off the finale episode of Jessica Jones for 2 weeks. Thanks for pointing that out, Haley. And we will be getting to Jessica Jones in 2 weeks, and that will be it. And then we'll be on to Daredevil. But I want to point out for Cajun Sean, he tagged the contest entry by saying hashtag contest entry. So very good, Sean. Very good.
And don't worry, listeners, if you thought you might be missing Lauren, SP will be doing a Lauren impression, which is clearly spot on.
So far with Luke Cage and Squirrel Girl, but we'll just see how it goes on tonight.
Let's hear Science Babies real quick.
Science Babies!
Yep, sounds just like her.
There you go. So Haley, what do we got for the third contest entry?
Well, at Critical Tiger said Nightcrawler because the character deserves a decent interpretation. Banff equals badass mofo.
Woohoo! So some great entries. We really appreciate that. We will be giving away next week during our X-Men Apocalypse live stream at geeks.live. Jessica Jones, aka Take a Bloody Number. Pretty good setup episode. It was directed by Billy Gerhardt, who has 21 total directing titles. Now, when I mention that total directing titles, it means actual titles, named titles, and then multiple episodes within each title. So, for example, he has 6 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 4 episodes of Once Upon a Time, 6 episodes of Walking Dead, an episode of Jessica Jones, this was the only one, 10 episodes of Son of Anarchy, 1 episode of Justified, I miss that show, it was a great show, and 4 episodes of Torchwood. So he's got some cred on him. And it was written by Hilly Hicks, who was involved in 6 total titles, including 2 episodes of Jessica Jones, 6 episodes of Chicago Fire, which was very appropriate since something actually blew up this episode, and then 1 episode of Army Wives. So I think we have to start at the end, and that is talk about Jessica Jones versus Luke Cage. How'd you like that fight?
Oh my gosh, do you think he's gonna die? What's gonna happen next week?
I think we might or may not find ourselves in an ER with Claire, the night nurse, but we'll wait until next week for
spoilers.
That.
Spoilers.
I know. I said may or may not. We'll see. But in the meantime, Jessica and Luke were going back to back. Jessica finally ends up shooting him close range with a riot shotgun. I mean, that's going to mess up anybody.
How else are you going to stop somebody who's indestructible and has super strength?
I know. He says you got to do what you got to do. Do you think he was asking for it at that point? Or do you think he was goading her on?
I think that was Luke going through whatever orders that Kilgrave gave him, trying to get her to defend herself in a way that would keep her alive.
Okay, so you think Kilgrave had choreographed that whole thing?
Well, yeah, Kilgrave had told him, you know, kill her or whatever. And so he was saying, protect yourself, because he doesn't want to kill her.
Right. Okay, got it. So he's still trying to do that, but got it.
Mm-hmm. Because he's still him inside there. He just has to do whatever he was told.
And apparently he was told a lot, because everything he said was something that Kilgrave told him or wrote for him to say or something like that. That is a long, if you're a writer, and I'm not a writer, Lauren's the writer of the three of us, she's not here right now. That's a long scene to have to write, to go from the time that the thing blows up till the fight at the club.
I don't think everything was like a detailed script. I think he was told to give her certain information at certain times. And then he was told to act naturally the rest of the time. Don't tell her this.
Okay. He's getting pretty good at those instructions.
So most of the conversations and things that are happening between them really happened. It's just he was all along leading her into a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a tarp.
It's a tarp. It was very well done. I did not see the Kilgrave. When I remember watching it the first time, and I really haven't watched it since then. I was watching it this afternoon, getting ready for this podcast, and I totally forgot that Kilgrave had orchestrated the whole thing. So once they got into the club, and then Kilgrave was there, and then Luke was on the floor, I was like, oh, oh, it shocked me for the second time. I was like, oh, I wish I would have remembered. That was awesome. And by the way, the club owner, kind of skeevy, you know, giving the kickback to the cops and, you know, not knowing if 10-year-old girls are, they look 20, but he didn't know they were 10, but he cards everyone, right? Right.
Right.
A little skeevy there.
I don't know. I think most of the club owners on television are pretty skeevy, so it's what you expect.
That club fight was awesome. They went through walls again. There was, you know, a cop car was dismantled. Luke went through a wall to get to her on the outside, and Jessica actually had metal things that she was banging him left and right with. Luke caught her. Did you see that? She was leaping up and Luke caught her midair, then pulled her back down. That was some great stuff. I love the superhero versus superhero stuff. I mean, we've seen it in Civil War. We saw it in Superman versus Batman. And regardless of how you think of that film, my feelings are well known at this point. But regardless of how you think of that, it was some great fighting at the end between superheroes. So this is...
I still haven't seen it.
Awesome stuff. And you are better for not having seen it. That's just my two cents. But... And the Avengers, Civil War, you know, when you had all the airport fight, it was bad. Great. It was awesome. And we get it in here. And we couldn't have it in Daredevil because it was bad guys versus good guys. I guess maybe Stick versus Daredevil, maybe.
It depends on if you consider the Punisher a bad guy or not. Like, he was the antagonist, but I don't think he was the bad guy.
I would say at the point that this aired... Batman versus Superman didn't come out yet. Dawn of Justice wasn't out yet. Civil War wasn't out yet. And season two of Daredevil wasn't out yet. So all you had was everything, the first season of Daredevil, basically.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we didn't even really have that many superheroes yet, so...
Right, but we had some awesome team-on-team fighting throughout the three seasons. But this was really, this was cool. I liked the way that this played out, and of course, Luke didn't die at the end, and everything's fine.
He doesn't? How do you know that?
He's got his own series, so unless it's time travel and it's backwards, he's alive.
The full name of the show is Luke Cage's Zombie Ghost.
I haven't seen the subtitle yet. Does he star in it with Trisha's mom, too, because she's just...
she's a piece of work.
She's great. Yeah, so... I can give you these files if you come home. Okay, I'll grant her that. You know, being a parent myself, you know, come on home. We'll talk about what we got. But, you know, while you're here, can you, like, pimp their new bottled water line? She's like, oh, geez. Can't be anything just for us. It's got to be something for somebody else, too. It's like, oh.
Thanks, Mom. Bye, Mom.
So that... really is setting up season two right there with the OGH bills, because it really didn't, I didn't see it in this episode.
Or was it IGH?
That's a good question. I heard both. And I think it's IGH, actually, now that you say it. But I heard OGH at one point in time, too. But so I think we're going to have to see some of that in season two, because there wasn't enough time to really go into it in this series.
That was the obvious, we're going to get a season two probably, so this is what we're going to talk about then.
Sure, dangle that thread out. Although with the Marvel Universe, you can cancel a show like Agent Carter. They canceled the show. Is that the last time we're going to see those characters? Could be, or they could roll them into something else. So as a flashback, as a little scene, I mean, we saw some Haley Atwell at the beginning of Ant-Man. Too. And that was something that nobody had expected. So I think that this sort of stuff will continue to roll up. Now, Malcolm has to walk Robin through her grief because nobody's helping her deal with it but Malcolm. And he's the one who had to dispose of the body. He's the one who is secondarily blamed by Robin for what happened to Reuben. And they have to go to where he is swimming with the fishes.
Free shipping to heaven.
Oh, and they throw the charge cord in the water saying, okay, there you go. And I've got an important question for you, Haley. Do you think Reuben actually put crack in the banana bread? Because I don't think that was ever answered.
I feel like he thought it was crack, but it was actually just more sugar.
Powdered sugar, maybe?
He was not the sharpest crayon in the box.
No, he wasn't. And his sister wouldn't let him... sign up for express shipping either, which with Amazon these days is 2 days. So they obviously don't have Amazon Prime. So they're not watching any of the great Amazon Prime shows because they're a Netflix family. They don't have to worry about Amazon Prime.
Does Amazon still have the free Super Saver shipping if you get more than $25 worth of stuff?
It's $35 now.
Ooh.
I know.
Totally worth the Prime account.
Right, I think so. Yeah. So Kilgrave's dad, what's his name again? Albert.
Dad? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just put dad down in there.
Yeah, exactly. That's all he did too. So Albert was screwing around with this formula to test out Kilgrave's ability to get longer effects further away. That's always going to end up great. I mean, expanding an evil person's power works. It worked great with Ultron. I mean, we saw, a whole city was saved.
Yeah. Worked out really well for everybody.
Right.
The repercussions for that were great. And then dad's like, I'm tired. I'm not doing my best work. Maybe I should sleep a little. Put your hand in that blender real quick. Still need a nap?
Feel a little focused now? Like, okay, but if you allow him to sleep, at least then he might get better results. You might end up actually getting better effects.
I've got some productivity studies you could read.
Obviously, he didn't care. Although, if I had my hand in a blender like that, I'd probably be awake for about an hour. And then I'd probably have to go to sleep. But yeah, is this the episode that he was pontificating over what he was doing, going to do with Jessica? I think might have been next episode. He's got some issues. He's just not dealing with things well. When you have everything, when you're a trust fund baby and you have everything handed to you, basically, because everything is literally handed to you, all you have to do is mention that you need something and it comes.
Say, oh, I want that.
Then, yeah, you have some issues with ego, which he obviously does. Can you imagine Kilgrave in charge of the entire city of New York?
That would be terrifying.
He could do things that would get the attention of the entire world like that. Everybody get off the subway. I want a clear subway so I can go from point A to point B. And that would be on the news. Would have to be.
I know we haven't watched it yet, but there's an episode of Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes where Purple Man takes over the world.
I could easily see that happening if his powers are expanded. Yep.
Yeah. It would not be that hard.
You throw some of his powers through the TARDIS main control console and it's all over with.
Yeah, what he does is, spoilers, he gets Tony Stark under his control and then he has Tony Stark, like, weaponize his powers into some sort of gas that he distributes, I think. I don't know, it's been a few years since I saw this episode. But that's how he starts, is he gets Stark.
Well, yeah, sure, get the tech. Stark's with the tech.
Yep.
So what happened with the club goer, the one that he told to go to the fence? I remember seeing him at the fence at some point in time in the future, but I didn't catch it at this point in time. I must have been distracted. When's the second time?
I don't remember, but he told him to stay there forever. And then he tells his dad, well, my power doesn't work that long yet, so it won't actually be forever.
I think I missed it because I remember the first time I watched it that when Jessica and Luke came back to the club, that they saw him by the fence or something like that. And he was being carted away because he had been, dehydrated and peed himself or whatever, something like that. I don't remember.
Well, just the effects hadn't worn off yet, but he eventually would have moved.
Right. Miscellaneous people are just at the whim of this guy. It is not good at all. Okay. So Trish meets Luke and they're talking back and forth and Luke throws out this line, my wife was a big fan of your show. Question for you. And we kind of covered this before, but I want to talk specifically on this. Do you think this was something specifically that Kilgrave told Luke to say in order to make sure to throw Jessica and Trish off of his scent that he was being controlled by Kilgrave? Or do you think that Reva honestly listened to Trish?
I don't think it was, because I don't see how it benefited Kilgrave or his scheme by having him say that line. So I don't think that was a scripted line. I think that was just a, holy crap, it's Miley Cyrus or whatever moment.
I guess. I tend to think that Kilgrave had put enough thought in there that he knew he was going to have to throw Trish off. And by complimenting her, that threw them both off, that Luke was under his control. So we'll see.
No, I think it was really just the general instruction was make sure they trust you and believe you and that they don't suspect you when you're leading them into this trap.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that too.
And he's smooth enough that he could make it happen.
He can make a lot of things happen. He's got to put his shirt on.
Sweet Christmas.
Yeah. All right. I'm out of notes for this week. What do you got, Haley? Anything else? Any quotes or anything you got stacked up?
Quotes.
All right. Let's go through them.
And I had to very carefully edit some of these because this is a clean cast.
It is. Dang that editor.
You can help yourself too. Well, there's nothing.
And if there was something to be spoiled because the refrigerator was smashed open on Simpson's head.
That's what happens if you come to my place. You can help yourself too. Well, there's nothing.
I know. My son came home over the weekend before he shipped out, literally shipped out. He's on a ship right now and working on a ship. And he went immediately to the refrigerator.
Deadliest catch?
Kind of, sort of. He's actually working on a small river cruise boat, and it's the same size as the Deadliest Catch boats.
That is not kind of, sort of, Deadliest Catch.
Well, it's the same size of boat.
Oh, okay. Those two are exactly the same then.
Except, well, he's getting a taste of Deck Zero right now, which is, interestingly enough, he called me and he had a bunch of colorful things to say about Deck Zero, which none of it was good. I had to convince him to stay on the boat. In any event, where was I going? I completely lost my way. So you were talking.
I have no idea. I ran you off the rails.
You did. What was the quote again?
You can help yourself to, well, there's nothing.
Okay. So he came home, he opened up the refrigerator, there was nothing there. I was like, yeah, I'll take you out to a restaurant, I'll take you to the grocery store, we could buy something. But he did not tell me he was coming and just showed up Saturday morning. I was like, well, what'd you expect? I have no time to prepare. You know, we're kind of trying to eat healthy around here. So none of that stuff that you used to eat is around here. Actually, I think there was a couple of cans of ravioli that were his still in the pantry, but
I remember going home when I was going to school, and to come home on the weekend and there not to be food ready for me felt like a betrayal. Like, you want me to come visit, you have to have food ready and waiting.
And wait, but you have to tell your parents you're coming, though. I mean, I could go 6 months without it. Matter of fact, the last time he was in this house was in October, and he just got here in May. So that's 7 months, 8 months. Yeah, I'm not going to keep food around for him for that long. It's not going to last that long. I'm not going to continually buy it. He's got to tell me he's coming.
Your other children don't need to eat?
Yeah, but they're girls and they eat, like, you know, salads and fruits and stuff like that. He wanted, like, meat. He wanted chicken. He wanted steak, burgers, that sort of thing.
Okay.
What are the quotes you got?
You can't improve on an a-hole by making it bigger.
Nope. Can make it easier to pass things, though.
Thanks for sharing. They say talking about a trauma can help. That and jogging. Two things that make me feel like Stocko.
I know. I was like, oh, you're not doing it right then. You can get the runner's high. You know what I'm talking about. You've been running recently. You get that runner's high.
Yeah. See, here's what it is. After about 2 or 3 weeks of running, it doesn't suck quite as much anymore. But you've got to keep going until you get to that point.
That's right. You do. You got to push through it. About a month into it, you start feeling okay.
And you can't miss more than 2 weeks straight, or it's really going to suck when you start again.
No, missing 2 weeks is basically going back to ground zero as far as running is concerned.
For me, 2 weeks is the most I can miss before I have to, like, dial back the mileage and stuff and start at an earlier spot.
Right. Well, like at the gym, I have to go like every 2 days, and then I have to take 2 days. Like, I need to go 3 times a week is basically, and it can't be like back to back back. I can't go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because I do a complete body workout when I'm in the gym. So I have to work out, miss a day, work out, miss a day, work out. But then I'm old, so I need the extra day of rest. I tried to do
right.
The just every other day. So basically go 7 times in 2 weeks. No, that doesn't work. Has to be 6. But if I miss a day, then I feel it for a week. Sucks. Getting old sucks. Don't get old. Use one of those youth things. Yeah. Make sure you do that.
Good plan.
If Lauren was here, we'd get her on that right now.
What I like to do, I don't have time to do it because of podcasting, but if I could, if I had the time, I would run every day and do a full body workout every day.
See, I did that like 3 years ago and it was just tough on the legs. Oh, it was tough. Like, I would bike, and when I bike, it was somewhere between 25 and 50 miles. So I would do that. Mm-hmm. And I would spend like an hour and a half in the gym. And once you get over 35, that's really tough on the body. In my particular case, quads. It was just rough on the quads.
I'm just not going to get over 35. I'll just stay 27 forever.
That was my plan too. And that went away about 20 years ago. So there you go. Got any more quotes, Haley?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Next week, we will be talking about X-Men Apocalypse in 2 weeks. So on June 8th, we will be talking about Jessica Jones, the finale episode, aka Smile. So let's get on to some news. So our news is kind of wrapped up in our feedback because all three of us were running around doing stuff and Lauren ended up not being able to make it on the cast. But as in true fashion, our fans, our audience tweets us with some great news stories. So first, we'll start out with Andy Migna. He tweeted us and he said, another rumor, this may be too much good to be true. And it was the story about John Boyega circling Marvel's Black Panther. Now, I have not seen an official announcement that he is part of the cast yet, but I knew that they were seriously considering him for a role in Black Panther. So, Haley, have you heard anything more about that?
I've seen the same rumors. I haven't seen any confirmation yet either.
Okay, so that was great. And then Richard at Kodiak GWC, he tweeted us, just in case you haven't seen this yet. And I actually had seen it, but thank you for tweeting it because then we could put it in the show notes for an occasion like now. It was a Screen Rant post, and basically it was the rumor that Marvel was considering adding the character of Kingpin to Spider-Man Homecoming. And let's just take a second to look at all the ramifications of this. You're talking about a Marvel Netflix series character being added to a motion picture that is actually owned by Sony, but Marvel is helping produce because obviously we saw Tom Holland in Civil War. This is actually big because not only do you have the big boy of Kingpin, but this would be the first time that you had a Netflix actor cross over into the big screen. And it's the first time that you have a cross Sony Marvel produced movie. Haley, what do you think about this?
I think the Marvel Sony crossover at this point is less of a big deal because we know Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man is going to be in there. So clearly they've decided to work very much together on this film. But the fact that they've got a TV Netflix character moving into the cinematic world, I think, is the bigger deal.
Even if it's just a cameo. I mean, Spider-Man and Kingpin are both in New York City. We've been talking about that. All these Netflix series are based in New York. You've got a bunch of superheroes like Stark and Spider-Man that are based in New York. Well, Stark, time to time, based in New York. So yeah, I think this is a big step forward in hashtag it's all connected. Now, unfortunately, it's not the TV universe, it's the Netflix universe. So it doesn't really solve any of Chloe Bennett's concerns.
Right. I would still like to see some sort of crossover, at least between the TV and Netflix. I think I said this last week and probably the week before too. But I understand that scheduling with the movies is difficult, but at least connect the TV and Netflix parts.
Yeah, agreed. I would love to see more of that. And then talking about more crossovers or more actors being added to Homecoming, we've heard this on again, off again, on again, off again. Well, guess what? It's back on again. Michael Keaton is back on in Spider-Man Homecoming as a villain. So it's seeing the 89 Batman in a Marvel movie, it's going to be fun, and I can't wait to see this.
Was he supposed to be the Vulture?
I think so, yes. So, which is a play on the Birdman, too.
Right. Well, he's also got the right look for it, I think.
He does, and I think this movie is just shaping up to be cool. As much as we groaned about the schedule shifting over to the right of such movies like Inhumans and Captain Marvel and that sort of thing, I have high hopes that they're actually going to get a good Spider-Man movie, one that we can all agree on as good. They finally did it right, and then we can move on from there and include the character in the rest of the MCU as long as it lasts. Because at some point in time, it's going to end. I just don't know when it's going to end. And they've got movies scheduled out up the wazoo
but who knows when the last one is really going to be, because they can't cancel movies. They canceled Inhumans. Well, they didn't officially cancel Inhumans, but they took the release date away. So.
It just no longer has a release date.
Right. And then Richard at Kodiak GWC also tweeted us, and he basically gave us the link to IO9's story of new Luke Cage set pictures. Give us a look at classic comics villain, and there's all sorts of goodness. Luke Cage. I thought this was very fitting this week since we saw Luke Cage in the Jessica Jones episode. That was awesome. So if you haven't checked out that story, go ahead and do that. Over on Facebook, we posted on our Facebook page a question about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So since Hive Ward shrugged off a shoulder-fired rocket, decrunched himself from Quake's attacks, withstood Lincoln's electric assaults, and rearranged his brain from S.H.I.E.L.D.'s memory machine, do you think that he could have been strong enough to survive the blast at the end of season 3? And we had a few responses to that. First of all, Michelle Ely said, even if he did, he would be floating in space, alive. That's a fate worse than death, in my opinion. To that, I will say, Michelle, I think he would eventually come back to Earth. And if he survived the blast, he could survive re-entry. And if he survived Quake's decrunching him, he could survive the impact. So I think if he did survive the blast, he could survive coming back home. What do you think, Haley?
I don't think he survived.
All right. Well, Jason Buntmeyer said, maybe if he's able to break his cardinal rule of feeding off of Inhumans, and he can feed on off of Lincoln right as the warhead exploded, maybe. And then Andy said, if Hive survived it, Ward's body definitely shouldn't. And that's true. But Ward's body withstood everything else that was thrown up against it. So it's a comic book show. I'm just throwing it out there. It could happen. I just don't think it's going to. I think it's, at this point in time, as much as I hate to admit it, he's been sit-welled and will not be returning to the MCU. So we also posted on our Facebook page a ranking of the MCU movies. And we had a comment from Christy who said, or no, I'm sorry, it was a ranking of shirtless scenes in the Marvel Universe. And Christy said, who knew SP was so into the shirtless men of Marvel? Wink.
I did.
I said it before and I'll say it again. I drove directly from Guardians of the Galaxy, which was actually at a theater that was an hour away. It was a long story why I was there, but I was there, saw the movie, was so inspired by the lead and his shirtless scene that I drove directly to my gym and worked out hard. So, I mean, these guys are inspiring what they do with their bodies, and I wish I could spend as much time as I could.
I have a slight nitpick with this. Yeah. I think the Thor shirtless scene from the first movie should be number one ahead of Captain America.
He was shirtless in the town? Is that where he's shirtless, or?
Yeah, when he was like, they had taken him back to their house or lab or whatever, and he was wandering around the apartment. Okay. And she's like, he's pretty ripped for a homeless dude.
Now, the topless scene in Thor 2, though, probably did it more so for you.
No, not as good. Not as lingering.
Oh, because he definitely has, it looks like his waist is like an 18-inch wide waist in that shot. And according to the sources that we looked at, there was no CGI done on that. So that was actually him. And that was amazing. So there you go. All right. Andy Migna has given us emails on all the Jessica Jones episodes so far. He had a combined email from episode 11 and 12. We're not going to talk about the episode 12 one for a couple of weeks here. So basically, since Lauren's not here, I'll take this. Heh, Jessica naming all those weird ways to die without a pause. I'm sorry, we went over that already, didn't we? It's episode 12.
Yeah, it's the episode 12 one we need.
All right. David Tennant's eyes staring at Luke Cage is creepy. I think David Tennant is creepy. The more I see him in this role and the more I go back and watch Doctor Who, I don't see the Doctor as the Purple Man. I see the Purple Man as the Doctor, and it really is starting to creep me out because he did so well at it. Is it just me, or do you also despise Trish's mom more than Kilgrave? Nope. Kilgrave, definitely the more skeevier one. But you got to remember, you got Jerry Hogarth. You've got a lot of bad people in this, so.
Yeah, but you don't find out until late in the series just how bad Jerry is.
True, but I don't think either of them combine equal Kilgrave.
Well, no, because he's pure evil.
He is pure evil. Trish, you couldn't just snatch that envelope out of her hands? Well, yeah.
Yeah, what's the point of all that Krav Maga?
She knows a thing or two. Dang, was that just a phony courier so Jessica would see another one get murdered? Ugh, of course, Kilgrave's influence on Luke Cage was bigger than expected. This will hurt a lot, and it did. And don't worry, he'll be fine after that shot to the head. Now run! And his bottom line is rating for the episode was 10 out of 10 lost fingers in a blender.
Ah.
Yeah. So just want...
Just tell it, when he said take the lid off the blender, I started to like crunch up in anticipation.
That's right. All right. You got any more feedback? Anybody talk to you offline about the episode that you want to share or anything like that?
Nope.
All right. We're going to walk this one out. Join us next week as we discuss the next thrilling installment in Fox's X-Men series, X-Men Apocalypse. Have you seen the Rotten Tomatoes score on this thing yet?
No, because I want it to be good.
I won't ruin you then, but it's...
I'm seeing it on Friday right after work.
It's not looking good for the ranking of X-Men Apocalypse, that's for sure. Now, if you have thoughts about X-Men Apocalypse, if you're coming out of the theater, hit us up. Press 1-844-THE-BUS-1 or 1-844-843-2871. Send us a voicemail. Tell us immediately after you leave the theater with your group. We'll take group calls. That's great. Put it on speakerphone. And we want to hear what you think of X-Men Apocalypse. Don't forget, we also have a website, legendsofshield.com, a Facebook page, Twitter page, and Tumblr page, all Legends of Shield, and a YouTube channel, youtube.com/gonnageek. And also, we've got forums. Don't forget, we've got forums. Black Adam is very active on the forums, as is several other people. That's forums.guineageek.com. Next show on the Guinea Geek Network on Geeks.live will be the Starling Tribune tomorrow night, 9 p.m., talking about the Arrow Season 4 finale episode, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to watch it right after we get off the air here. And I just want to say thank you, everybody that checked us out at Facebook Live. Thank you very much, everybody in the chat at GunnaGeek.com/live or Geeks.live. We really appreciate you guys chiming in and talking about Jessica Jones.
And thank you to everybody that sends us stuff throughout the week, tweets and such. Lauren really loves when you guys do the live tweeting with her. She has a lot of fun with that. So check that out every week. Not next week, because we're doing a movie instead, but do that every week. We also appreciate when you guys send us news, because like this week, none of us had time to do it, so you guys saved the podcast. Good job, team.
Woohoo! Team Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., you guys rock. You really do. Thank you very much for hanging with us. This is our 123rd episode, and you guys have been with the podcast ever since at least we took over in episode 14, and we really appreciate everybody around, and we welcome our new listeners as well. And don't feel shy, go ahead, hit us up, especially Lauren, man, she'll light up like a Christmas tree if you hit her up. It's awesome.
And remember, you've got 1 week left to get an entry in for our crate giveaway. Let us know what mutant, X-Men, or otherwise you would like to see brought into the MCU. You have to pick one. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, email, voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. Let us know, and you have to get that to us by June 6th.
June 1st.
Right. June 1st. Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
Get it to us by June 1st.
I'm the one that people shouldn't listen to. In any event, we're going to walk this one out, and then we'll have a brief say about some big news that came out today, but I didn't want to spoil anybody. So if you don't want to be spoiled on Marvel Comics, don't stick around. But until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Haley.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
Comicpalooza 2016 is almost here. At Comicpalooza, there are literally thousands of hours of programming. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Special celebrity events at this year's Comicpalooza include a cast reunion of the classic 1986 sci-fi horror favorite, Aliens, featuring Sigourney Weaver and more. Also, the cast of the Boondock Saints will be in attendance, including Sean Patrick Flannery, and of course, Walking Dead star Norman Reedus. Other celebrity guests include Underworld star Kate Beckinsale, Lenny James from The Walking Dead, wrestling superstar Ric Flair, comic book legends John Ostrander and Adam Kubert, and of course, me, Ming Chen from AMC's comic book band and podcaster extraordinaire. Be sure to follow Comicpalooza on social media, on Twitter at Comicpalooza, Instagram at Houston Comicpalooza, and like us on Facebook. Don't miss Comicpalooza 2016 at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, June 17th through June 19th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.